Years ago, a friend of mine told me, you really need to read this book because it tells you a more Christian perspective on history. The book was by Howard Zinn, and it was called The People, A People's History of the United States. And it's told from the underside, not from the powerful. History is often written by the powerful, by the winners, you know, the conquerors, the people in charge. But this is a history that's written from below, about how the powerful keep things going so that the poor are always on the bottom, and they're always on the top. One of the things that impresses me about the Old Testament is that this is a history of Israel spanning centuries and centuries, told from the bottom. Israel, with the exception of the kingship of David and his son Solomon, it was a history of failure. And they were a vassal state, bounced between the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Romans and the Greeks. They never really had their own land. They were always being oppressed by somebody. And so when you hear the history of the kings, for example, the first and second Kings, those two books in the Bible that tell the history, it's told from below, and they're very critical of the kings because the kings were oppressing them, like they always do. You know? Jesus comes into our human existence and takes on that bottom place. Born in a stable, reared in an insignificant family, uneducated, powerless, having to escape into Egypt for a while to escape Herod's oppression, his attempt to kill him. Being an itinerant preacher, nowhere to lay his head, finally dying on a cross. He takes that last place. He tells the history from below. And when he hangs out with the tax collectors and the sinners, he's hanging out with the wrong people. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests, they're the power. And they despise Jesus, and they're always plotting to kill him. He's disrupting their system. And Jesus, his message seems to go and be received by the powerless. It's the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes who believe Jesus' message. So that first reading today from the prophet Malachi, written 400 years before Christ, he's speaking to the powerless, and he's saying the strong and the powerful are going to get theirs, because the time is coming when the Son of Justice will rise up and defend the weak and turn things upside down. You know, these messages about the end times, they can seem foreboding, almost threatening, depending on where you stand. But if you are the powerless, this message is a message of jubilation, something to hope for, to long for. But if you are the oppressor, then you're being threatened, because Malachi is telling you that you're going to get yours, that you're going to be judged, and it won't be pretty. Well, most of us, we're middle-class Americans. We're living in the first world. In many ways, we're part of the oppression. And so that can feel kind of threatening to us, like we're going to be judged harshly. But there's another part of each person here that is on the underside too, because we've all had to suffer in some way or another. We've suffered injustice. We've suffered things that aren't our fault, that aren't fair. And we've taken up our cross and followed Jesus. And so in our prayer life and in our generosity to the poor and in the various ways in which we've tried to be members of Christ's body authentically, we're on the underside. And this message of the Son of Justice coming in the future and judging, is actually good news to us. Malachi wrote 400 years before Christ. So 400 years later, they're still waiting for that Son of Justice. How did they endure? They're very much like us. You know, our world today seems like it's gone crazy. It seems hopeless, you know. The gap between the rich and the poor just grows ever wider. Injustice, we may not be experiencing it ourselves, but we read about it in the paper, we hear about it on the news. Globally, there's just such poverty, such suffering, such injustice, and our hearts ache about that. How do we endure? One of the ways that the Jews endured is that they adapted. Everything was about the temple. And then the temple was destroyed when they were exiled to Babylon. And so then began the diaspora, the Jews living outside of Palestine. And some of them returned after the exile, but many of them remained there. And so they're spread all over the Mediterranean basin, from Egypt all up through the Mideast, all the way to Rome. There was a Jewish community in Rome at the time of Jesus. When Paul comes to Rome, he doesn't found that church, it was already there. He just simply writes a letter to them, the letter to the Romans. So how did they live so far from Jerusalem, which was the heart of their spirituality? How did they live so far from the temple even after it was rebuilt? Well, they found the answer in the law. And they felt that if they obeyed the law, they would be saved, that God would bless them, and he did. And gave them the strength to endure. Another thing they did was they adapted the scriptures. They had a very different way of looking at scripture than we do. For Christians, the scriptures are locked in. You can't change them. They're there forever. But in the Jewish understanding, the Jewish scriptures continue to develop. So the scribes would copy the scriptures and they would change things, or they would write notes in the margin, their interpretation of this passage. And then a generation or two later, those notes in the margin became part of the text. And so it's a kind of a living scripture. For us, it's set and you can't change it. For them, it's always changing and always growing. And there's some truth in that. Our lives change, our circumstances change, we change our minds, we shift our attitudes, we change our behaviors according to what's happening in our lives. It's really all about transformation. It's about our plunging ourselves into the waters of death, which is the water of life, taking up our cross, adapting, finding the various ways that we need to die to the old self and constantly be renewed in something possible, something future, something that's growing within us and growing within the world. This belief in the end times, the final justice of God, is the thing that sustains us. It's the thing that is the basis of our hope, that despite evidence to the contrary, the world is returning to God. It emanated out from God in creation, and in Christ Jesus, it turns the corner and begins to go back. That water of life that flowed out of the garden, that flowed out of the life of God, reverses its direction and is flowing back to God. Now, it took almost 14 billion years to get where we are from the beginning. How many billion years it will take for that river to flow back into God so that God will be all in all, as St. Paul says, we have no idea. And Jesus says, don't really worry about that. Just plunge yourself into that stream that is returning. Return to God. Take the side of the underdog, the side of the poor. Recognize your own poverty. Recognize the fact that you live and breathe in God, and God lives and breathes in you, and you'll be able to endure.